big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have a new guy coming in. His name is Adam McLaughlin, and he's over at Church Marketing Ideas, and you can find it at churchmarketingideas.com. And I connected with him back in the fall and finally got around to podcasting with him, but he's got some great church marketing ideas, and he actually did a blog fairly recently about some essential tools, and they were free tools for church communicators. So he had 11 free tools for church communicators. And so I brought him on the podcast because I thought it'd be great to have his experience to come on and share about what are some of these essential tools that church communicators need to have in their tool belt to be effective in what they do. So I brought Adam on and we had a great conversation. So let's get into the conversation right now with Adam McLaughlin. All right, with me right now is Adam McLaughlin. Adam, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Thanks for being on my podcast. I really appreciate it. And again, I can see you, although this is just the audio we'll take from it, but I can see you and you look like you're in a sunny, warm place compared to where I am. Where are you?
I sure am. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and even though it's January 2nd, it is a beautiful 75 degrees here.
Yeah, I'm really jealous on that because I wanted to actually go running this morning, but it was a little too cold to go running outside this morning. So up in D.C., we're a little bit colder than that.
So. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I was born and raised in Canada, so I understand the cold, but I have no desire to be anywhere near it.
Okay, so how did you make your trek from Canada to Florida?
Well, I guess it was about 7 years ago. Yeah, around that, around 2010. And I came home from work one day and I said to my wife, I have a feeling God wants us to relocate to the church here in Fort Myers, Florida. We were friends with the pastor through a mutual connection. And it took about 5 years for the position to be available and immigration to authorize our work visa. But we absolutely love it here. And we've been here for a couple of years and plan to be here for a lot more.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, well, good. This is a good segue into the introduction. Well, tell people about what you do and how you got started in this field.
Sure. So I oversee marketing and communications here at Life Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Okay. And I started by helping small businesses and organizations with their digital presence online. And then that led to doing some consulting, and I did some work here for Life Church. And then they had the opportunity for a position to open. And what I realized is that my experience with helping lots of different businesses and organizations was there were some common threads, some common questions that I got from them. Mm-hmm. So I started a blog at churchmarketingideas.com kind of to help people get past the things that I've already thought through.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've got all kinds of experience in this and lots of people are just getting their feet wet. So I figure if they can read a blog post and learn in 4 or 5 minutes what it took me 4 or 5 months or a few years to learn, then I can help push them forward. So that's kind of my heart with churchmarketingideas.com.
Well, I love it. And because I discovered your blog this past year, and again, my background is I'm a student minister. I did student ministry for a really long time. And now I do a lot of coaching for student ministry. But I've transitioned the past 3 years to do social media, online marketing, or not marketing. I hate, I'm not a good marketer. I don't want to say I hate marketing, but I hate marketing. Just kidding. but I've done a lot of online, I'm an online campus pastor now for our church. And what I've done is because I'm kind of self-taught. And what I have to do is rely on people like you and what you're blogging about and what you're podcasting about to learn, because I need to learn this stuff really quick because that's the new frontier of church, I think.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm really excited. Thanks for being the pioneer for this stuff and then allowing us to learn from you.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome and I'm happy to help.
Yeah.
one of the blog posts that you did, and I don't know how long ago you did it, but I saw it recently, was entitled 11 Free Tools for Church Communications Teams.
Right.
And I love this blog post, and thankfully I have some of these free tools, so it's really cool. But I would love to just talk with you about, what do you view as some of the essential tools for church communications? Because it's really, it has become very digital now. And so what have you seen to be the few of them? We don't have to hit on all 11 of them, but what are some of the ones that you think are the primary ones you think are essential for church communications teams?
Yeah, so when you're building a church communications team, or maybe already have one, whether you're staff or volunteer, you're dealing with all kinds of different people, all kinds of different perceptions. You know, one of the cool things about Fort Myers is that we end up being a retirement community. Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily always seeing people who are getting saved coming to the church. Mm-hmm. We have a fair amount of growth at the church from people who are retiring. Mm-hmm. So they bring with them years and years of experience of what church is like in their minds. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we find is we really need to clarify not just what church is like, but what Life Church is about.
Okay.
And one of the ways we need to do that is really clear communication. So I think that, email and text messages are okay. You know, a Facebook group would be a step up from that because you can kind of organize your thoughts. But I would really recommend using Slack. Yeah. As a chat app. It lets you put all of your conversations in one place. You can group based on what they call channels, essentially categories, right? Mm-hmm. So you could have a Slack chat specifically for your bulletin or for a mailer that's going out or for a video project or for a Christmas volunteer banquet. Mm-hmm. And then Slack saves all that information so that next year when you go to do the volunteer banquet, you can look through your previous Slack channel and see the decisions you made and why you made them. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend Slack. They have a really great free option for Teams.
Okay.
The only restriction on the free option is that it allows you up to 10,000 messages. And then after that, at message 10,001, it deletes your first message.
Okay.
So 10,000 sounds like a lot of messages, but if you can imagine how many text messages you send in a month.
Yeah, right.
You know, 8 or 10 people on your team. Yeah. You know, it's a great option to start out. I'm glad they have the free option.
Yep.
And then it gets really affordable after that if you choose to hold on to it.
Yeah. I thanks for sharing about Slack, because Slack is actually just something I discovered. I didn't discover it, but I just tried out about 2.5 weeks ago. And some people asked for me to join a Slack channel. And so I downloaded all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know about this. But literally, the more I use it, the more I see how useful it is to go back and forth with people. So I really like that as well. And again, you can have the private messages too with people.
Right.
So I think that's I think it's a great one. You have on here as well Unsplash. I've never heard of that before. What's Unsplash?
Oh, Unsplash is one of my favorite tools. This is a royalty-free, copyright-free digital image library.
Awesome.
And now I think they're up to thousands and thousands of photos. Every 10 days, they add 10 new photos. Mm-hmm. So I think I found them within a month of them launching. So when I got there, they had about 30 photos.
Oh, wow.
And now they have thousands and thousands. And really easy interface to search for the photos you're looking for, mm-hmm. Especially if you're looking for kind of that hipster style with landscapes, or you're looking for kind of the device mock-up kind of template stuff. Unsplash.com has been really great for us. They still need to be accommodated, or you still need to compensate for what they're lacking with a paid stock source.
Okay.
So they're not like the full meal deal solution.
Okay.
But they're definitely the first place I choose before I go to pay for stock photo.
Okay.
And the cool thing is that because they're copyright free, royalty free, they say that you don't have to attribute to the artist. You don't have to pay anything. You can print it, you can distribute it, you can modify it however you want. So it's a great library for that. Just a bunch of photographers trying to get their name exposed and giving away some really great free photography.
Yeah, I think that's essential. I mean, really, because, you know, and we're going to talk about this as we get into Canva. You mentioned Canva, but I mean, when you're using these apps to make these images, or when you're using these images, you got to make some cool images, and you need some great images to use right. as your background, you know? So I'm always looking on that. So that's cool. I'm going to definitely check out Unsplash for sure. Let me ask you this. We don't need to dig into MailChimp very much, but I will say this. This is a question I had and I struggled with for a very long time. So we have you have MailChimp as one of your essential tools,
right?
But and it's free. But I have a church database system, okay? But I hate the church database system. I mean, it just doesn't serve me very well. MailChimp, and then there's other ones as well, but MailChimp is a great alternative to that. Do you ever struggle with the simple fact that you have a church database system, but you may not use it? Do you use your church database system to use it, or do you use like MailChimp, a third-party app?
Yeah, we use MailChimp.
Yeah, okay.
it's kind of plain and simple answer for me, but
yeah,
it's kind of like if you have a toolbox, I don't feel guilty when I need to use a screwdriver instead of the hammer.
Okay.
I think it's essential to build a toolbox. And I think more and more, rather than trying to find one tool that does everything you need,
mm-hmm.
Find five or six tools that each do one thing really well.
Yeah.
And if possible, try and get them to integrate. If not possible, just deal with the fact that I would rather send beautiful emails through MailChimp that get really great response rates.
Yep.
Than poor looking emails from a database software just because it's convenient.
Yes.
So that's my two cents.
No, and I'm glad you said that because you simplified exactly what I was trying to communicate. I mean, I feel guilty because we have this church database system that everything's on, but yet I can't do what I really need to do on it. Whereas MailChimp, it's so easy. I can drag and drop and place some cool images here or there without any real restrictions. It's really nice.
Yeah, I might recommend for you to consider hiring a developer to create what's called an API.
Okay.
So an API is basically an interface. It will be a little piece of software that when somebody new gets added to your church database, it would take their first name, their last name, their email address, and also add it to your MailChimp list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And MailChimp allows APIs, so yeah. The only contingency would be, first, does your church database allow APIs? Do
right.
they allow that integration? And can you find somebody to write it for those two pieces?
Yeah.
You know, the old school way, you download the CSV from your church database, and you upload it to MailChimp every week before you send out your email newsletter.
Yeah, that is true. You could do that.
Yes. You could.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Wise wisdom right there. All right. So another one that you have on your toolbox is Canva.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to say, broaden it out a little bit more to say, social media image makers, you know.
Sure.
Tell me why you like Canva so much, and are there other ones that you like as well?
Yeah, so I do like Canva, and the reason I like Canva is you can basically hand it to a volunteer and not get back an image that you might have an allergic reaction to. Yeah. So Canva lays it out for you. You can say, okay, based on our account, titles have to be this font. Mm-hmm. And subtitles have to be this font.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want, they can overlay a logo and you can provide that for them. So it's basically risk-free.
Mm-hmm.
I love this for our other teams who, not necessarily our communications team, but for our kids team, our youth team, mm-hmm. Our small groups, so that they can log into the Canva account that I've established with those kind of guidelines. They can create an image and I don't have to approve it to know that it would meet our design standards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like Canva. For me, myself, it doesn't give me enough playroom. It's not, I don't know, it's not Photoshop. So
yeah, yeah.
For me, I would still use Photoshop. But Photoshop isn't a free tool. And yeah. That's the purpose of this list, to provide some really great free tools to church communications team. The other one that I really like is called InstaQuote.
It is
not a free – well, it is a free app, but you have to – pay to remove the branding. I think it's like right. $3 or something.
Yeah.
And it's really worth it for me. They generate all kinds of different, you basically start by typing in your quote, then you upload a picture Usually I take a picture of whoever's speaking that week, or I take a picture of the audience from the back of the auditorium. And then they overlay all kinds of different variables of fonts and backgrounds and shadowing or texture with your quotes. You can just punch. So you see something that really sticks out.
Yeah.
And then it comes out square, so it's automatically ready to go on Instagram.
That's cool.
So that's what I like for that.
Can you tell me, again, tell all of us the value of removing the
the branding
and put your own branding on it? Sorry.
Yeah, so I think that there's something to be said for being able to say, this came from Life Church, this feels like Life Church, mm-hmm. This is us, this is who we are, rather than a generic, you know, we grab this off the internet. Yes. You know, one of my favorite things, it's kind of half a pet peeve and it's kind of half a treasure hunt. I'm not sure which one, but it's on, you know, on big holidays, New Year's Day, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. You can go on Facebook and you can see Happy New Year's with a stock photo watermark over top of the image, yeah. Right? And it's because somebody's just Googled, you know, Happy New Year picture,
yeah.
And they grabbed one off a stock photo library, not even realizing what they were doing, and posted it on Facebook. And something about that says, you know, I stole this image, or I don't know any better.
Right.
And so for me, it's really important to remove the branding from anything that we post on our social media channels, because we don't want it to look like, hey, we, you know, this is a great quote from the church down the street. It fits us today.
Yeah.
Or because the average person looking doesn't necessarily know, hey, InstaQuote is the app we use to make the image. Yeah. They don't know the difference between that brand and something else.
Yeah.
And so we only get to really see people face to face, maybe a couple hours a week.
Yeah.
I really want to drive home our brand through the rest of the week.
Yeah. No, I agree. And because then anytime someone sees that image that has your brand on it, your church on it, they're going to associate to you whether or not they're a believer or not. And so when maybe if they're not a believer and they come to know Christ, they're like, I got to find a church. They're going to think of you. I think they're going to think of your church because they saw that cool image with a great scripture or a great thought on it. And they're going to seek you out. So it's a great way to market yourself. So.
Yeah, completely.
Hey, okay, so I want to hit on one more in particular. I may get to another one, but the CMIforms.com, what is that all about?
So we saw a need with small churches that oftentimes when somebody wants an event promoted, the church communication or whoever's in charge of deciding what gets put in the announcements or what gets put in the bulletin is going to get a text message or an email. And 99 times out of 99, they are incomplete information. Right? So, hey, can you put my event in the announcements? Sure. What's the date? Oh, it's next Saturday at 2 p.m. Okay, well, what's it called? And you get all this back and forth. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there's so much back and forth with text messages or emails that you may still be Sunday morning getting ready to announce something and you don't have all the details for it.
Yeah, right.
So what we did was we created a really simple interface. It basically asked for name, email, event, your event description, the start time, the end time, where's the event taking place. It's a really simple online form, mm-hmm. and it's targeted for churches who do not have any kind of system. So a church can go, they can sign up for free, they get a specific link that they can send anybody in their church who has a request.
Nice.
And make sure they collect all the information in one place, and then when they click submit, the person who submitted the information gets a copy to make sure it's accurate, and the person who is in charge of the communications at that church gets a copy so that it's all in one place. And from there, churches can decide what to do with it. But it's not, hey, I sent you a text message, and then I followed up with a Facebook message, and now I'm going to fire you an email. It's all in one place. So it's a really cool, quick tool. And it's free if anybody would like to sign up, cmiforms.com.
I love it. And I'm definitely including this. I'm going to send this to my church communications team and say, we should do something with this. So I think it's awesome. So this is great. So, all right. Well, this is fantastic. And I'm going to include, again, this whole blog post on my show notes so people can get to it. You've got a ton of great resources all over your blog and your podcast as well. So, to simply before we get off, what where can people find you online? What's your social media handles? And then again, churchmarketingideas.com.
Yeah, so churchmarketingideas.com is the blog, and all of our social media buttons are there if you want to hang out with us on Facebook or Twitter. On Facebook, we have a group, and we also have a page. So if you just want to see upcoming blog posts, you can hang out on the page. If you want to interact, ask some questions, then come check us out at the Church Marketing Ideas Facebook group. Personally, my Twitter handle is Adam_McLaughlin, and we better put that in the show notes because I'm not spelling it. And, of course, I would love to hear from you and hang out. And if you have any questions about church marketing, then just go to churchmarketingideas.com and click the Ask a Question button, and I reply directly to all those questions.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I love just playing around on your site, just seeing a whole bunch of stuff, so it's great. So, Adam, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, a Canadian who's now living in Florida. Go figure. I wish I was living in Florida right now with the cool weather that we're having up here in Northern Virginia. But great conversation with Adam. Really appreciated him coming on the podcast. And again, you can find all his links to his stuff in the show notes. So definitely go to the show notes and click on his stuff. He's a fantastic resource to use, especially if you're a church communicator. But now I want to hear from you. What are the essential tools that you have as a church communicator that you use, that you depend on all the time? Get on Twitter, hit me up at TA Pounder, and share with me those essential tools that you use and that you cannot live without. And or if you want to, you can even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear from you and to carry on this conversation as we just kind of continue to brainstorm, because there are tools and apps all the time that are coming out that people are using and utilizing for church communications and digital media. It is fantastic how things are just ever changing. So get on Twitter, email me, and share your thoughts and what are those essential tools that you are using every day. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. This was episode 99, by the way. We have the big old 100 next week, so I'm super stoked about that, and I'm super stoked about our guest as well for episode number 100. But as always, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely subscribe to it. Go on iTunes and subscribe. Go to ymsidekick.com and check out all the fresh content coming out there each and every week. Well, until next time, I hope you guys all stay warm and stay safe, and I will see you for episode 100 next week. Have a great rest of the week.